New teams, new challenges, and a whole new season of sport. You're listening to the Dragons Download on Smoke Radio.
I'm Lucy Lavery, and I'm glad that you can be joining me on this sporting quest. So, first off, this podcast is going to be recapping all of the Dragons action monthly. So, what's on this month's podcast? I think you probably need to brace yourselves, because this month in particular, we're going in hard. We've got commentary from the first ever men's basketball game of the season. We've got an exclusive interview with the boxing captain, Alexandra, and our two chief football pundits, Stuart Armour and Mark Hoskin, have got all the latest coverage from the men's football. But first off, let me just take you back to last week, where myself and the sports editor of the QH, Damien, caught up and had a little chat with the SU president, Freya, about the upcoming exhibition games, which are going to be held this Friday.
All the exhibition games will be Bucks fixtures, so okay. That's the British University College of Sport. So that's the league that all universities are part of, and they play every Wednesday afternoon, and that's their league fixture against other universities. So all we're really doing is picking up a fixture from their league fixtures, making it sort of a showcase, so doing it in the evening, doing it on a different day. So yeah, the first match is next Friday, the 4th of November. It is men's basketball versus Medway University. So they're coming down to Stratford, the Copper Box on the Olympic Park, to play, and it's about 7 p.m. So it's just trying to make it a bit more accessible so it doesn't clash with lectures and that sort of thing.
And you said that the exhibition games will not clash with Bucks games, so that's why they will be played on a different day than the Bucks fixtures, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're either going to play it in the evening on a Wednesday, so past 6 o'clock, so it doesn't clash with any of our fixtures, which are normally about 2 p.m. kickoffs or 4 p.m. kickoffs, or move it to a different day so it doesn't clash with anyone's timetables or any other fixtures, yeah.
And what was the initial aim of the exhibition games? Is that to give like a more of a playing time experience for our teams, or is it actually for the fans to make it more accessible?
It's to really highlight how incredible our sports community is at this university. Varsity is always a highlight of the sporting calendar, the university calendar, and students always have so many good things to say about the day. They love it, and they I got quite a bit of feedback this year that students wish there were more varsity style games happening throughout the year, which was sort of my incentive to do this, because it's going to try and have the like a mini essence of varsity, so it's throughout the year rather than it just being one sort of big thing each year. When we pick the external venues, we're trying to make sure that they're in sort of zone 1, 2 and at a push 3, so they're accessible for all students via tube or whatever. And also we're trying to pick areas which have large capacity so that we can get as many students as we can as possible. For example, Harrow Sports Hall can only really hold about 10 to 15 people, which isn't great in terms of spectators. So it's just making it a bit more accessible, giving students the chance to go and watch their teams and make it a good experience for them. So, yeah.
You've mentioned that Smoke Media will be participating in the exhibition games as well. So what do you expect from Smoke Media in regard to coverage of the exhibition games?
Yeah, so I've been chatting to Smoke Media about covering the exhibition games. They'll be there, they'll be on the sides, they'll be chatting about the game, they'll be talking to people there, talking to players and things like that during the breaks to try and make it more of an exciting feel, a bit more on the ground. So yeah, Smoke will be there.
And the you've mentioned also halftime performances during the games. So what's planned for that? How do you imagine the halftime shows for at exhibition games?
Yeah, so we have a really great cheerleading crew this year, run by Steph. She's doing a really great job, and she's really excited to be at the games and be sort of with our new dragon mascot, like getting the crowd up, running about, that sort of thing. So I've been speaking to her. She's really excited about planning some routines for it. As you know, it's the first one, so it's all early days, so we're going to see how it goes next Friday, see everything works, and then just try and prove it throughout the year as we go through them.
Would you like to invite listeners for the first game?
Yeah. Come along to Stratford next week, Copper Box, Olympic Park, for men's basketball versus Medway in our first exhibition game. Entry 7 p.m. for a 7:30 tip.
Okay, thank you so much.
Cheers. Yeah.
You're locked into the Dragons Download. UWSU Men's Basketball.
We're here at the Sports Hall on the Harrow campus for the very first game of the London Metropolitan Basketball League season. It's Westminster Dragons against London Metropolitan University's Lions. My name's Callum Denning. Ollie Browning is here with me. And are you ready, Ollie?
I'm so ready, Callum. It's going to be a fantastic game today. Can't wait.
It's going to be scintillating, Ollie. Bring it on.
The Dragons, they've got home court advantage, but I don't think they got enough to take on London Met.
Well, Smoke the Dragon is on the sidelines trying to G up the squad. It doesn't seem to be happening so far, but you can only hope that its presence is going to help as the Dragons once again look to get back into this match.
Hopefully we can sink a couple of 3 points. We need a few long ranges from behind the arc just to get back in this game. After halftime, hopefully we can go and we can close the lead by the halftime, and then in the third and fourth quarters, as long as we've got a couple of subs left to make, we'll get the energy back up, get the players back on the pitch, and hopefully we can come back into this.
Get on that Gatorade.
Callum, brand new team, brand new year. Are we ready for this season?
You know, looking at this, it doesn't look like they've done anything. They haven't been bowling, they haven't been out for a team meal together. It doesn't look like that bonding is there. There's no chemistry so far. But you have to point out as well, London Met, look at their players, Ollie. Just look at them now.
They are huge. They are absolutely massive. Some of them could play in the American basketball leagues. They're built bigger than us. We're British. Can we feel that? Can we feel that
well,
team?
Look at the way they're playing as well. The aggressive nature out there on the court. They're storming into our players. They're getting into a few arguments with the referee. The referee's having to kind of get Coach Clive to step back a little bit because he's getting that into this. Because, quite frankly, it looks like the Dragons are being bullied out there.
I wouldn't be surprised if tensions boil over at the end of this game, Callum.
It looks like it could. I mean, that is what seems to bring in the Dragons together at the moment. So you can only hope it works in their favour as they all seem to get annoyed at the presence of the referee, the fact that London Met are not, in terms of basketball, but physically walking all over him on that court. You think it's going to bring the Dragons together. I don't know about you,
but this is what we need. We need someone to get in there, someone to build that fire in the belly of the Dragons.
And it's so close as well.
Get them spitting fire.
Once that fire, much like Smoke the Dragon, has been lit, I think the Dragons can go on to win this because it's so close so far. All they have to do is just tip the momentum in their favour.
Callum, a word on Coach Clive on the sideline. Look at him, he's going crazy.
He's getting animated. He switched the turtleneck to the tracksuit, as is tradition for the Sunday fixtures, but he and the referee seem to be having a bit of a disagreement. Obviously, we spoke about how aggressive London Met are being. He is not best pleased by that, nor are the fans, and nor are we.
No,
are we,
he's just trying to protect his players, and I like that. We need a coach that's able to look out for his team. He could be out there on the pitch with him. He's that kind of manager.
But the referee's out there and he's telling Coach Clive to step back. Clive's not having it. He's getting involved. He's just as angry as we are. He wants to be out on that court, making every pass, making every shot with the Dragons. And that is the kind of passion you want to see from your coach.
Exactly. And looking back on the pitch, it's going well. We seem to have picked up our game a little bit more. We're coming back into it. A couple of decent shots from our players.
Ollie, this is the Dragons to lose at this point, I think.
Yeah. If we can tip the balance, like you said, in our favour, It'll be a great win because we came into this match, new team, no chemistry. Are we ready for the next one? If we build on this one, we can take it into the next few fixtures.
London Met are a good side as well. That's the thing. Obviously, we've spoken about how physically imposing they are, but they know how to play basketball.
Exactly. They've a couple of long-range shots as well, long-range efforts that have just happened to fall into the hoop. A little bit of luck, going to be honest. That's not me being biased. That's me saying, on another day, that could have easily bounced out.
With the Dragons, a little bit of luck, but a whole lot of net.
Looking back at events on the pitch, and Dragons number 7 is on the ball, running up the wing. Can he find a teammate in space? He can. It's Dragons number 11 from the three-point line. Net.
Unbelievable shot, Ollie.
Unbelievable.
That is what we're here for. Look at that.
It was all net, Callum. Like you say, swish, straight through, no rim, straight in.
Come on.
Callum, London Met came flying out of the blocks in this game. Are they suffering now? The coaches use all the timeouts as we approach halftime.
Look at the fatigue, Ollie. Look at them out on that court. They're slowing down, which is benefiting the Dragons as they can't be as aggressive as they were. They're no longer ramming into our players and absolutely destroying them, which was what was happening in the first...
What the referee didn't control, Callum, the timeouts have. They've lost a little bit of their motivation. It looks like we could have a pretty close game going into halftime as long as we can close that gap.
The Lions have lost their roar, Ollie. That's what's happened after the use of all the timeouts. They are going in, but it's not just working, or it's just not working, sorry, because the Dragons now have that little bit of...
fire in their belly,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah, they've got the fire in the belly. They've now kind of got, like... that power shift in their hands, that they can still call the timeout if they need to. The Met,
and that is important, isn't it, Callum? If we decide we want to break up the momentum of this game, calling a timeout, we can set the whole thing back again, set the clock back to zero, and we can come out of the block straight from there.
And it'll anger the Lions as well. It will anger them, and they can't then manifest that anger as much as they could before.
It's not just about the physicality of it. They are very physical, if not over physical, but it's also about the mentality. If we can get in their heads, call that timeout, pull everyone aside, break the game up for a second before half time, we can take this from them. We've just reached half time, Callum. 34-40. It's a close game. Can we close this gap? All it takes, bear in mind, would be 2 3-point attempts.
Bin or rim, and we're going to fill that gap, Ollie.
Callum, a word on the Dragons' centre as the second half wears on, as we got a little bit of time just to talk about how well has he played.
Let's get into this, Ollie. I think so far player of the match, I mean, everywhere on the court, he's covered every bit of that court,
every line,
winning the ball. When he loses the ball, he reacts to it. He doesn't slunk off and cry like some of the players have been doing, which has been quite demoralising as a Dragons fan, as well as someone who's here to commentate on the match and some of the points he's been scoring. That's what basketball's all about.
Yeah, he's a proper old school player. We love it here.
We could easily be watching the Miami Heat out there.
Absolutely. Back on the pitch, Dragons number 7. He's taken the ball away. He's stolen it from London Mets number 3. He's off, up down the pitch. Going for it. Drops in for 2. Brilliant. Beautiful effort. It's getting close, Callum. It's getting close as we go on. How much of this game comes down to mentality over physicality?
I've said it all game. Their physicality is going to wear thin. There's only so much of that they can do. Westminster have got that heart. They may not have the chemistry like we've spoken about, but they make up for it with their passion individually. And I think, as I've said all match, that the passion is going to be what tips this close contest into the Dragons' favour.
Talking of tips, we've had another steal from the Dragons. In he comes, black and yellow all over the pitch. They're rushing up towards the net, and they're sharing it around, and there it is, dropping in for another 2
Boom.
Points.
That's what the Dragons are all about, Ollie. That is it. Here come the Dragons once again, storming up the court here at the Sports Hall on the Harrow campus. It's a great pass by the number 7. He finds the number 11. He charges towards the Westminster net, makes the pass. London Met try to make the steal. They don't. As they get into the arc, they shoot, they score.
Absolutely brilliant, Callum. Fantastic.
Westminster with another 2-pointer. It was a fantastic shot, wasn't it, Ollie?
It was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. The words escape me, Callum, for how brilliant that swift counter-attack was.
That build-up,
absolutely
mate,
brilliant.
It looked like London Met were going to put this game beyond all doubt, but once again, that Westminster passion, that heart, that desire we love to see from the Dragons has manifested itself
and
once
again. That's what they failed to do, Callum. They failed to put this game to bed. They've had the opportunities, London Met, but it's still so close. So close. It'll go either way. It can go either way.
Well, as we get towards the closing stages, Ollie, I think as Westminster, once again, they break. They come up the court. It's number 7. He is everywhere. Finds the 4. Up to the 11. Out wide to the 8. Who shoots. It's a 3-pointer, Ollie. Smoke the Dragon is practically on the court. The president of the SU, Freya, is having to hold it back. This could go off, Ollie.
This is it's all going to kick off at the end of the game. We're going to have to stick around because there will be scenes.
It looks to me now, Ollie, as we approach the closing stages of this match, that Westminster are going to take it. They've still got the deficit. They're closing that gap slowly but surely. It was huge at one point, but the passion and desire, as I've mentioned so much during this match about the Dragons, has thrown them back into that contest.
It's too close to call, Callum. I don't want to. If I was a betting man, no chance.
We'll always gamble responsibly, but the smart money this afternoon, Ollie, is with the Westminster Dragons.
Home advantage, home court advantage. The chemistry has not been there, but they're fighting for each other out there.
First game of the season. I'm saying, Ollie, first win of the season.
That's a bold shout. We'll see what happens.
Here we go, Ollie. We're getting towards the closing stages of this match. Again, it's all Westminster so far. London Met seem to be out of this contest as a whole. What do you make of it in terms of the way Coach Clive has got the Dragons attacking these final stages?
He is in his pep talks. He's riling up the players. They are getting into it now. This is a sort of thing dreams are made of. He is on the pitch with them.
I often dream of that, Ollie. How have you sussed me out? But it's not a dream today, Ollie. This is real life. Coach Clive is going to master this turnaround. Westminster Dragons, we're getting towards the final closing stages of this match.
It'll be one of the biggest turnarounds in Westminster's history if they can take the lead.
As Westminster break, here we go. It's number 11 towards the 4, towards the 3, towards the 2. Gets down the court. Look like it might have been a double dribble. It isn't. Shoots from outside the arc and Ollie.
Unbelievable. What a finish. Swish. Right through the net. Here we go.
Another 3 on the board.
Here we go.
This is it. This is where Westminster can really seize the initiative and bring this home. Here we go, Ollie. Just 20 seconds left on the clock here at the Sports Hall on the Harrow campus. Westminster Dragons just 5 points behind. As we get towards the closing stages, about 10 seconds left on the clock. They break. Ollie, what's happening?
He's getting down the pitch. Oh my God, there's a chance for 3 points. Oh my God, he sunk it. 3 points. We've got a 2-point deficit.
Hang on. Wait. Ollie, I think that may have been a 2-pointer. It's
oh no.
Back.
No. It's 2 points. It's just 2 points.
I don't think it's happening, Ollie. If he'd gone for a 3-pointer, we'd have had a tie. But. Oh no, the klaxon has sounded, Ollie. The klaxon's gone. It's finished. Westminster Dragons 79. London Met 80.
So close. Too so close to call. The, right the inches end. In it. Inches between overtime and a loss. It's devastating for the Dragons. If he had just taken that shot seconds earlier before stepping into the arc, it would have been so different. We would have had overtime and a chance to take the win.
But the one thing to take from this, Ollie, is that Westminster, they were very much behind for a long, long stretch of this match. They pulled it back. And to only lose by a point against a much more physically imposing team, a much more aggressive side.
A well-gelled, well-drilled London Met side.
A well-oiled machine in the Met Lions.
They've done very well to close the gap from 20 points to
one. Well, let me tell you, London Met, there is a flaw in the machine. We've stopped it. The cogs have stopped whirring because Westminster Dragons, though they lost with pride, Ollie. They lost with pride.
They played fantastically well. Brilliant.
You're listening to the Dragons Download on Smoke Radio. UWSU Boxing.
So with me now is Alexandra, boxing captain for the Dragons. He's just popped in to have a little chat with me. Tell me a little bit about your role as boxing captain and what that entails exactly.
My role would entail recruiting as many people as I can for the boxing, so that we have quite a big community in Westminster. From when I started, there wasn't one at all. There was only me and another boxer and a very few selected. So I am everything. I'm the only committee member at the moment. So I run the social media. I make ensure people's at training. So yeah, I basically run everything that involves boxing, any questions or answers you need, I am the person to speak to.
So, moving away from the Dragons boxing team. So, the Joshua v Klitschko fight is now postponed until next year, which was announced not that long ago. So, Anthony, we still need an opponent for December 10th. Who would you like to see go up against him?
Well, I'd like to see him against a bit more solid opponent. So, I heard he was going to be facing Eric Molina, who's another American who was beaten by Deontay Wilder, the American champion. He needs someone a bit more credible than, say, I think Klitschko is probably the best fight at the moment for him, but it just seems that Klitschko is running scared a bit. I would like to see him against Lucas Brown, the Australian champion, but then again, I think he's had some sort of scandal with drugs. I mean, my heart of hearts, I'd like to see him against Deontay Wilder, the American champion, but he is extremely dangerous.
Why did you get into boxing then? What, who are your biggest inspirations then?
Well, when
who
I
did you see and go, oh, I won't mind a bit of that?
Well, basically, like, it might sound quite typical, but I remember watching Mike Tyson when I was younger. So he would just go in and destroy people, and I was just, because it was so dramatic, it really just, it stood out to me so much. So I thought, oh, that would be good for me. Then I saw this series, or like contender series. So it's a bit like Rocky themed. Sylvester Stallone's involved in that series as well. So it works hand in hand. And that just sort of inspired me to, it's just something that caught my eye.
So you just mentioned the Rocky film. Obviously, you know, a very well known soundtrack on there.
Eye of the Tiger.
If you could pick a walk on song, like a good old pump up tune, what would yours be? What would you select?
What tune I'd select?
Yeah.
Did it have to be like a
the doors old open, a smoke machine, the tune plays? What would it be?
I don't know. I'd probably have something a bit current. I wouldn't. I don't know. Eye of the Tiger is a pretty good. But it's a bit overused, would you say?
Well, you can always bring back an old classic.
I guess you could. I wouldn't, like, even if I came into I'm a Barbie Girl, I wouldn't be fussed.
So that would be... The captain of the Dragons would pick I'm a Barbie Girl.
Certainly. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have the guts to put I'm a Barbie Girl. But if the people organising the music, like the DJ, was to put that on, like, accidentally, wouldn't be fussed. I'd just get on with it.
So obviously with boxing being such a physical sport, is it hard to fit it around uni? So if you've had a particularly tough fight, maybe you look a bit like a panda the next day, maybe you're a bit sore. How do you cope with the sports-based injuries around uni life?
In terms of the sport itself, is anything that I have a problem with. So with training, so for example, if I finish a lecture, I've got to run straight away to the gym, make sure I get that the way. Then as soon as I get home, I have a bit of a like revision to do. Touch wood, I've never had any like bumps and bruises in an actual competition, and I've had quite a lot of competitions, but I've never really had like a broken nose. I think my nose has bled once a bit, but it wasn't that bad at all, and that's honestly about it. That I've had a few, like a couple bruises, but it hasn't stopped me from coming into uni. I'm not shy of, like, if I've got a black eye, a bit of a shiner, it's not a big deal for me.
Just, you know, hard man.
You could say that.
What sort of person are you looking for then to join the boxing society?
It's literally anyone, as long as you have some form of discipline to come to training, even if you're feeling a bit tired sometimes. It's exercising, even if you're not passionate about boxing, but just the fact that you wanna work out, you have some fitness goals. If you have the discipline for that and you really want to reach them, you know, that's something that I respect a lot. So that's all you need is just the discipline and the determination to come to the gym and get your diet sorted and just wanting to enjoy your training.
Could I take you on?
You certainly could.
Do you reckon I've got the physique that could make a good fighter?
you definitely could. You definitely could.
So, training, you see a lot in the films. During your training, are you a good skipper?
Am I a good skipper? I'd have to say I'm quite a fast skipper. I'm pretty good.
Would you be up for, in a few weeks' time, me and you having a skip off?
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah. Full Smart Radio. We'll Full film Smart it. Radio.
100%. Give me a call, I'll be here.
Can you do one leg?
I could do one leg for you if you want.
Can you do the crossover?
I could do the crossover. Do it backwards if you like.
I've got a few weeks now to get
your practice in.
Skip training in.
Yeah.
I don't even have a rope, so I might have to nip to the shops.
You might have to get a sports director like 250.
I'm definitely looking forward to our skip off. But in the meantime, if anyone is interested in getting involved in the boxing team, what's the best way to get into contact with you?
So you can contact me, you could either message me on Facebook, Alexandra, Z-E-N-D-R-A. So just contact me, give us a message, or if you're really having trouble finding me on Facebook, then go to the SU, ask for the boxing email, send us an email there, I'll get right back to you, and exchange details, and I'll be able to take you to training, and you're allowed 2 free trial sessions. After that, it's £55 for the whole year. Come as much as you like.
And there you go.
And there you go.
UWSU Men's Football.
So we are here at the Quinton Hogg Memorial Ground for Westminster versus Canterbury.
It is indeed the Pink Games to raise awareness for breast cancer awareness, and indeed the team did their warm-up in their pink shirts, their pink socks, but they're back to the black and yellow now. Ready for a bit of a competitive game against Canterbury.
It's probably worth mentioning that Westminster first versus Canterbury second isn't the only game on today. A second team are taking on the West London first, just one pitch across, and we'll keep you updated with the scores as soon as we get them.
Number 10, Jack Scott, looking to unlaunch a decent throw into the box. He puts it in, heads go flying towards it, but nothing was made of it, and Canterbury have cleared. Ooh. Straight back into the box, easily defended by Canterbury, and now they're looking to get on the counter-attack. Number 10 turns away, knocks it back to number 8, tries to put a ball down the left-hand wing, and it goes straight out for a throw-in. Good head up by number 6, puts it back to Canterbury's number 18, who
manages to start a move that puts the ball right down the right-hand side of Canterbury. Number 18 picks up on the right-hand side, tries to put a ball through to number 5 for the Canterbury Dragons. It goes out for a Westminster throw, but apparently the referee hasn't seen it, the linesman hasn't seen it either, and the Canterbury is still on the attack. And it goes out for a Canterbury corner, which I'm literally next to it. It should have been a throw.
I don't know. I don't think the ball passed the line. I don't think it crossed the line.
Absolute joke, Stuart. The ball was out by an absolute mile.
Mate, I've got glasses on, and I clearly didn't see that go over the line.
Well, neither did the linesman, apparently. It goes out for a Canterbury corner. Corner's about to come in on the right-hand side of the pitch. Number 15 delivering it into the box. Goes into the mixer. Easy for a Canterbury header to get on the top of it, but Dragons keeper comes out and puts out for another corner.
Good jump there by the goalie. Good fist on that.
Number 18 heading towards this one to take it. A lot of hostility between the number 3 of the Dragons and the number 10 of the Canterbury. A few extra shoulder barges being put on there, even though the corner taker ain't even at the corner yet.
I don't think the referee's noticed this yet.
Referee don't have a clue what's going on, bollocks things. Corner comes in, looking towards the number 16 at the back, but the keeper gets a solid two hands on it. Two Canterbury substitutions getting very angry about the position of the free kick. Can't decide whether they're the subs or the managers, but we'll soon find out if they're good enough to come on the pitch later on. Canterbury get the ball, put it down the left-hand side. Number 5 for the Dragons looking to get on there first, but it doesn't. Number 11 for Canterbury gets on, puts it through his legs, tries to put a ball in the box, but there's no one to receive it.
So Canterbury corner, this is the third corner of the game. Number 18 is stepping up to take it. The referee's having a word here with, I think, number 9 from Canterbury.
And I think he's too right anyway. There's been a bit of a handbags on the pitch so far. Wouldn't surprise me if a booking's produced, at least. Not now, but later on in the game.
I think the referee's just had a quiet word, Tom, to keep it down. Corner's about to float in here.
21 minutes into the game. Corner comes in.
Good fist by the goalie.
Met by the keeper.
Still in around the box, but keeper gathers up this time round.
Body's being flown absolutely everywhere, if I'm honest. Wouldn't surprise me if someone's even sent off for this, right? Throw in on the left hand side for Dragons. Number 8 has enough time on the ball, and I think the referee's given a foul throw. Stuart, when was the last time you've seen a foul throw being given in a decent game of football?
I haven't. I know when I refereed a game I gave a foul throw, but that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I reckon that was under 11s too, mate.
Yeah. I have noticed though the Dragons don't seem to be on the second ball a lot. They're there for the first, but the second ball they're not around.
It's very true. The ball goes into the Dragons box, picked up by number 8, who puts the ball in, but it's actually blocked by the own keeper, and a massive
save
by the keeper there. Fantastic bit of skill by the 15, only let down by the fact that the ball went out of play and it's gone out for a Canterbury corner. Another corner for Canterbury.
Six corners, so if you were betting on the 6 corner game, you're doing very well in the market. Moment, we are 32 minutes into the game here and still 0-0 between Canterbury and the Dragons. And Canterbury now on the tack, plays the ball into the centre of the field towards the box of the Dragons, and a good play out to the right. And it's a tackle in from number 3, but doesn't quite get there. It's crossing, headed, and it's over. So we're at the centre of the field here. Ball is falling to number 15, who's got 2 for him. He's thread it to number 4, who's got a chance to go. He shoots. What a save by the goalkeeper there for Canterbury.
Saw the number 10 get a bit frustrated there. Even I could see a clear ball through. And I reckon if you put that ball through, might have seen the ball get put away in the back of the net. Remains 0-0 here, about just gone past half an hour mark. And the ball comes out to the west. Oh! Ball falls to number 10. Comes to the right-hand side. Tries to put it in the top bins, but it hits the post and comes out for a Westminster throw. Paul's put back in the mixer. Looking easily defended, but we've managed to keep the ball on. 15's got it near to the box. Hasn't got many options. Puts it to number 14. Takes around number 5. Surely this ball's coming in the box now. And it's easily defended by Canterbury. Goes out for another Westminster throw. This is looking lively from the Dragons. Best spell of play I've seen so far.
Yeah, Dragons have seemed to pick it up on the half-hour mark. Ball is flying into the box now, headed out, though, by Canterbury. And number 7 looks to take it away for a Canterbury attack.
Free kick to the Dragons, about 25 yards out of goal. There's a few bodies around the box looking to take it. Number 10 seems to have it now, with captain Jack Scott.
I think he's going for a shot, yeah?
Yeah, he does it like it. 3 men in the Canterbury wall, right on the 18-yard box. Plenty of Westminster bodies in the box. He has a dig straight into the wall, comes back out to him, and he volleys it so high that I don't think that's ever coming down. Nice bit of defending there. Number 3 knocking the ball back to the keeper, and it gives Westminster a chance to have an attack. Number 5 driving forward, looking for that killer pass, manages to find it through, and it
Oh, number four has put in a crunching tackle, giving Westminster the breakthrough on the right-hand side. Falls to Jack Scott, and a back heel, it rolls past, and just rolls past the post. Ball still in play, though. Hull with the Canterbury defenders launching up the pitch, looking for their number 18 to get ahead of it. Westminster defender just gets it, but it falls to the Canterbury foot. And there's a solid foul there, but it comes through to number 8. Where Canterbury's still on the ball. I think he's looking to have a shot, but he's not getting away. Goes on the left-hand side. Number 13 picks the ball up, looking to put a ball in the mixer. And easily defended, but it's not. It's fallen to number 10, who's put it in the back of the net for Canterbury. Solid finish there. Can only hope that the Westminster Dragons could have done more there.
I think it was great play by the ref there as well with the advantage. There was a clear foul on the Canterbury player. Carried on playing, and a great cross by Canterbury, and a great finish.
Ball falls on the 18. He puts a shot away, and it's flown straight into top bins. Canterbury are just running rings around us. It looked too easy. Four bodies around him on the 18-yard box, and somehow he's managed to pull the trigger. It's just not what the Dragons needed before half time. The one spell that they had of a decent attacking, free-flowing football, it's gone a bit tits up, hasn't it, Stuart?
The manager's got a big half-time team talk, I can tell you that now.
He signals in, whips it ball in. It's met by a Canterbury ahead, and it's going to be number 3. The referee may not have given it, but he has given a goal.
Yeah, it was met by a Canterbury head. Bodies being flown everywhere. The ball's just gone into the first half of that. I don't think it hit the back of the net, you know. But that's the goal, and it's 3-0 to Canterbury. It's not looking good for the Dragons at all. So we can keep the game going and hopefully produce something. It's not looking good for us. Second half started looking well. Not so much anymore.
No, 3-0. Looks dead and buried. Number 7 trying to keep the ball in, but it's a throw on to Canterbury. Just going back to that goal, the goalkeeper could have... The referee may have got a bit of goal line technology there that may have told him it was a goal, but unfortunately it's not on this ground, so I think his eyes played the part in that one. Substitution for Canterbury. Number 10... Number 11 replacing number 11, and he did mention that the shirt was a bit tight when he pulled it off.
Did indeed. The new number 11 coming on the field, the one that has been very vocal at the side of the pitch. So let's see if he can put his feet where his mouth is. Another substitution for Canterbury. Number 18 coming off, replacing the shirt, and we've got number 18 coming on.
Shambles, I tell you.
Trust me, might be losing 3-0, but at least we've got more than 11 shirts. Good bit of pressure put on by Canterbury. Managed to keep the ball though, and it's fallen back to a Canterbury foot. Put a ball in, easily defended. Hopefully he can make the second header there. He hasn't. Number 8's caught onto it, and he's given a Canterbury free kick there. Once again, another harsh one. Giving out free kicks for funny.
Haven't seen a card branded yet though, so.
I just thought that it's got to be coming soon. The game's getting more hostile as a minute.
It's constant. Oh, that was a dirty challenge there. Sorry, Mark. Yeah, I do agree. The ball keeps getting lost quite easy by the Dragons, but that just there. The Dragons player actually capitalising the ball, and the Canterbury player went in really hard. And in fact, he's given him a red card.
The red card has in fact come for the one I said was a little bit vocal on the left-hand side. He's been on the pitch for 5 minutes, and he's been sent off. Unbelievable. You could see it coming from the minute he was even named on a subs bench, Stuart.
But what surprised me most, yeah, it was a harsh challenge. I don't really think it warranted a red card there, Mark.
Warranted a red card. The referee hasn't even looked at dishing out a yellow so far, so to bring out a red just like that. It's come up a bit of a shock, I think.
Very harsh on the Canterbury player there. But Canterbury player walks past and just shouts out it's not red there, so I kind of have to agree with them a little bit there. But the ball's in the box here for the Dragons. Maybe this could be their turnaround now. They're 3-0 down and they've got 10 men on the pitch.
Well, on the upside for Canterbury, it now means they've now got one shirt spare. So if anyone comes off now, they might be able to get a shirt that hasn't just been taken off a back.
So to give you an update from the second game where Westminster Dragons seconds were playing University of West London firsts, final score 2-0 to University of West London. Back to the main game we're focusing on, which is Dragons first versus Canterbury seconds. Game here still 3-0 to Canterbury, and they are still down to 10 men. Ball is in the Canterbury half here with possession with the Dragons. Played towards number 9, however, cleared by a Canterbury player. Number 5 picks it up in the centre of the field.
Yeah, I don't see why 5. We're 3-0 down. There's about 5 minutes left. Surely you want to go on to get a consolation goal, but instead he's turned around and just knocked the ball around the back. To me, it just shows a lack of urgency for the Dragons in this game. I think we were down and out as soon as we conceded the third. It just hasn't looked promising from here on.
So the keeper is taking his time to pick the ball up. I'm hoping the referee is looking at this and maybe adding the time on.
I don't. I'm freezing.
Yeah, I'm a bit cold too. But in fairness of the game, you know, Dragons need all the time they can get, I suppose. Number 14 for Dragons clears possession. And there's a tussle between number 15 and number 10. But number 7 now on the ball for the Dragons. Looking at an impressive tack. He's taken on a player. Takes a shot. Oh, and he scores. Lifeline, maybe a consolation goal for the Dragons. It's put into the keeper's bottom right-hand side. Lovely shot from outside the box from number 7. But there you go. Brings up full-time whistle there.
Yeah, final whistle. It finishes 3-1 to Canterbury. But that was a fantastic bit of solo play by the number 7 for the Westminster Dragons there. You're listening to the Dragons Download on Smoke Radio.
A tough game here for Westminster Dragons, losing 3-1 to Canterbury. So, boys, tough day on the pitch. What are your thoughts?
Second half a lot better, but still not good enough going forward. Something we need to work on, but I think there's signs of improvement. What do you reckon?
Yeah, they're a tough team they were.
Yeah, big boys.
They were unbelievable. It was like Harlem Globetrotters or something. It was huge. I don't know how much they spend more time in the gym than they must do on the football pitch. But yeah, we weren't very good today. We got a good 0-0 draw start the season away last week, but we just couldn't progress on that and got smashed today, didn't we, Jack?
Yeah.
I mean, first half it seemed to be kind of a lot of pressure from Canterbury, and then all of a sudden you guys took a lot of pressure onto them. You had a shot off the par. Yeah. You had a shot go wide, and then unfortunately they picked up the goals, two in the first half, and then we got to the penalty. Jack, yeah. Tell me what happened.
Just done a Benteke, really. high wide, not very handsome, but
he's still coming down now.
Yeah,
that penalty.
I think it's just landed, maybe.
Yeah, we did ask Tim Peake, who was at the space station, to throw it down to us. But
yeah, well, good on him, to be fair. It must have hurt.
Did
his head
you sign
if it
him
hit
before
him.
He gave
yeah, just yeah, not the best shot in the world, but next one will go in, no doubt about it.
I want to say a great final goal, consolation there from number 7. Again, where do you think your improvement points will be for the next match, if you need them?
We've said we're going to work on in training on Monday going forward, final balls in the box, because like you said, first half we did put a little bit of pressure on them and we had a few chances that we probably should have put away. Just final decision making, don't you think, Alex?
Yeah, I think we don't seem to start very well and we like grow into the game after they've gone in front, which we've got to go put the press onto them.
Especially at home.
Yeah, especially at home. But we'll come back next week, won't we, Jack?
Bounce back, win.
Carna Dragons.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Jeff.
Okay, so I'm joined in the studio now by one of our chief football pundits, Stuart. So how was it, Stuart, making your football commentary debut for Smoke?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't call myself chief pundit because I know nothing about football. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good fun. I think me and Mark had a great connection.
I felt the connection.
Did you?
Yeah. It was a beautiful connection.
Oh, well, like I say, I enjoyed working with Mark, and hopefully me and Mark will get to work again with some more opportunities on the football.
So when I was editing your commentary footage, I noticed that you and Mark, not only do you have, you know, that shared connection, you also seem to have a shared favourite word. So I just want to let you have a little listen to something.
Okay.
Yeah, attacks are fizzling out very quickly for the Dragons. There's an attack here for Canterbury and it fizzles out for a throw on to the Dragons. Number 10 now on the attack for Canterbury. Taking the middle of the park, passes it back into midfield, but it's not really fizzing out, really.
Comes to Canterbury's number 8, puts a dig forward and it's fizzled straight over the bar.
Straight face. Happy place.
Is that a favourite word of yours then?
Yeah, I think we used it quite a lot in the commentary.
Oh my god. Oh, calm down now, calm down. Right.
Oh, dear me.
I haven't just brought you in here to count up your fizzles.
Okay.
word on the street is you're looking to set up a new sports team.
Yeah, I'm a big ice hockey fan, and I'm looking to try and see if we get any interest in anyone who wants to play ice hockey. So I can imagine people out there who may be interested in ice hockey, can't play it, but may want to learn. This team that we're setting up at this present time won't be going to be competitive playing, so we're not looking for experience, we're looking for people that want to play ice hockey and maybe have an interest as well, or, you know, maybe don't have an interest but maybe want to play hockey, ice hockey, and get involved.
Okay, so total novices can join. Do you have any idea of, like, where the training will be, how often the training, how committed do people need to be?
Well, I mean, first off, I mean, it's just a feeler. So if we can get enough people, like, so we need 9 people that are interested. And out of that, if we can get another, say, 10 people on top of that who want to play ice hockey, so that's 19 people, we can then look for venues in the area. We've got Alexandra Palace, the Lee Valley Stadium as well, not far from here, a couple of tube rides. There's all of those that we can inquire about using for ice hockey venues. To be fair, first off, we don't really need ice hockey venues straight away. We just need, because we need to know if people can skate, and i.e. need to be taught how to skate. So initially, if people are interested, we'll just find a ice rink locally and try and teach people how to skate, and then we'll start bringing things in to, like, so the equipment bases and things like that, and then see what happens going forward. But initially, we need 9 people to try and start the sports team up.
So if anyone's listening now and they're interested, what's the best way to get in contact?
Well, you can tweet me, I'm at Stuart Armour, or you can drop me an email. Now, my email is, well, it's a long email address.
Go for it anyway, go on.
w1602002@my.westminster.ac.uk.
Lovely.
So yeah, drop me an email with your interest, and then once we get the initial 9, I can then speak to the SU and get stuff sorted to try and get a team sorted.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much, Stuart. And
the conversation's fizzled out.
That was the Dragons Download on Smoke Radio. To find out more about game fixtures or getting involved with the Dragons, go to uwsu.com/sports for more information.